Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the show you're listening to on AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson.
Good morning. Hello again, Fred.
Yeah. Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now.
Yo. Hey, everybody.
Rocking a, I don't know, it's a hybrid.
I think it's a Paisley hybrid.
Yeah. Ray, can you see this?
It's a kind, yeah, it's bright. It's yeah. a kind of a Paisley,
keeps
right?
Keeps me awake, Steve? You know?
Yeah. If you're new to this show, I've tagged Steve Paisley Jordahl because he oft wears Paisley attire.
It's a name I've leaned into.
Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City at home for a few days before he's off to Michigan and state of New York, right?
Right. Next 2 weeks.
Now, do you know if that smoked really bad still up in – it was bad up in Michigan and New York. I don't know. Maybe that changes day to day. Smoke from the Canadian wildfires I'm talking about.
I don't know about New York. I think it's cleared out of most of Michigan by now.
Okay, because it wasn't pure Michigan
right
for a while there.
Smoky Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those wildfires, though, Fred, how far were you? I know, were you in, when you went home last week to visit your family in Nova Scotia, how far were you from where those wildfires were?
Well, the Nova Scotia wildfires were out by the time I got there.
Okay.
They were just kind of to the northwest of Halifax, the capital city. But the Quebec fires, when I was in Philadelphia on the way home, Philadelphia got dark, kind of dark again because of the smoke coming down. So we're still getting some of that effect from the Quebec fires.
But now they're saying these are millions of acres, right?
Yes.
Of wildfires that there's no way to contain them or control them. They're just going to have to burn out.
Exactly. That's
so your summertime hot, I guess the only thing that could stop that would be rain, and it would take a lot of rain, right?
Yes, to put a stop to that. And I mean, the smoke's going to hang around for a while. You get these high pressure systems and they just keep circulating the smoke around and around. So it was like I saw it firsthand the other day in Philadelphia. It's kind of weird. It's almost like real humid days in the South. It gets kind of foggy.
Right.
That's what it was like in Philadelphia the day I was there earlier this
week. So you go outside. I mean, it's just smoky. I mean, smell it and everything.
Well,
could you not smell it?
I went for a walk the morning I was there. I spend the night
in Philadelphia, you're talking about?
Yeah, I went for a walk. I could see it, but I really didn't detect any kind of smoky smell.
Gotcha.
In there. But it's earlier on, remember early on, 2-3 weeks ago in New York, they were telling people if you had breathing problems, stay inside. Yeah. It got really bad. That's when the fires were going full force.
Yeah. All right. Steve?
I lived in Los Angeles in the 1980s. Quebec has nothing on that, let me tell you.
That's right.
I remember seeing those pictures from the 80s.
Oh, man.
Smog City.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-mm.
All right. All right. Are we going to play that clip first? Because I want to warn people.
Okay.
I'd like to warn people because we are going to, in the news, folks, as you know, in the culture, in the U.S. and other places, but we've been inundated, especially during June, which is, you know, Pride Month, in case you didn't notice, the LGBTQ movement, particularly the T, trans, that's being really pushed on the American public with drag queens and all these things. And there is believe it or not, among young people, and by young, I mean teenagers and such, the trans is growing in popularity or has grown in popularity. I think it's in large part due to peer pressure because it's the cool thing to do, if you can believe it, in many parts of the country. It's being pushed in movies, social media, television, music, and so forth and so on. So a lot of it, I would say probably most of it, is not genuine, but it's trendy. Okay, now, but there is also, to take it a step beyond, not just putting on the clothes of the opposite sex that you are, but there's a movement to do surgery. I'm talking about medical surgery on people, young people, teenagers, even some children, because the child says, or the teenager says, I'm a girl, but I should be a boy, so I want to get this or that done. So what Steve's about to play here, he found a clip from a person that did transition medically. True, Steve? Surgically?
No. Hormonally.
Hormonally, okay.
At this point.
Hormonally, okay. So it's not any ugly language.
Although, you know, it is, I do have the story of a guy that transitioned surgically, and I have some very strong regret statements from him, too, I can share.
Okay. So what we're about to play, it's going to take about 2 minutes, I think. You'll hear what this person's talking about, but it's inappropriate for children, I think. That's why I'm warning people,
sure.
For at least for children who are unable, maybe listening in the car, who are unable, and they're listening, but they're unable to grasp this topic. Go ahead, Steve.
It's a female to a who wanted to transition to a male.
Yeah, she did not give her name, but she was a woman or a girl who was unhappy being a girl and wanted to be a boy, so she started taking the hormones. She regretted that, but at some point it does permanent damage, these hormones do, and you're going to hear a lot of regret in this clip. We don't know her name. She didn't give her name, but listen to Cut 10.
This is a letter to young transitioners. If you are about to transition, especially if you are underage, please listen to this. First of all, you cannot change your sex. Take it from someone who has tried. You cannot. The side effects are severe. I feel like only detransitioners really talk about the harmful and irreversible effects of cross-sex hormones, but the side effects affect trans people who don't detransition as well. There are irreversible mental, physical, and emotional changes, most of which are permanent and more severe the younger treatments are started and the longer you undergo them. Some of these side effects include being permanently misshapen by muscle and fat redistribution, which causes disproportionate features. This literally means being the wrong shape forever. And being disproportionate causes clumsiness and even chronic pain, and because your original frame might not be able to support the new distribution of muscle and fat. There is no treatment for this. You will never get off of the conveyor belt. It will keep going and going, and more of you will be mutilated and chopped off and incinerated until the old you is gone, and you still have to deal with all your original problems and traumas. This is just in a different body that isn't functional anymore. Transition is not a cure for puberty. It's not a cure for feeling bad about yourself. No child is born in the wrong body. Permanently medically altering your body won't bring you peace or euphoria.
Wow.
Fred?
What a testimony. That story you just heard from that lady, talk about firsthand experience, will never be told on the mainstream media. They will stay away from that. That's disgusting. Also, I get disgusted with the American Medical Association. Medical people now endorsing the idea of transition.
And the CDC?
Yes.
And hospitals?
Yes. And now... and now we have battles going on in states where, and these are mostly Democrat-run states, if not exclusively Democrat-run states, where they're trying to bring in legislation that an 8-year-old goes to the school counselor, and it's a female, and says, I want to be a boy. They don't have to tell the parents,
yeah. You
know, that they're starting medical treatments on little 8- and 9-year-olds. This is horrific that's going on in our country right now. There ought to be laws to immediately stop this, but also media ought to be telling this side of the story as well. This is a sincere warning for someone who bought into this and now deeply, deeply regrets it.
And I've got another one, too. This isn't sound. This is written, and I can't post the entire one because it's very graphic. But I've taken some clips. This is a man. I don't know if the surgery, he had surgery, and I don't know if he had the surgery when he was a minor or not, but he has had the surgery and had a body part removed. And this is what he says. This is on a Reddit forum, and he wrote this. He's struggling with his surgery disappointment. He says he's, quote, trapped in a broken body. His dysphoria is even worse. He says, it terrifies me that I'm actually trapped like this now and can't do anything about it. I can't believe I'm going through all this wishing I could just have back the one thing I hated most. I would do anything to go back and tell myself it didn't work out and let me live at least okay with life like it was before. I just wanted to feel whole in my body, but I feel worse, more broken, more disconnected, more dysphoric than ever before. And the number of people who are expressing trans regret is massive. It's growing. But Fred, you said, it's being hidden.
Yes.
Ray?
The whole thing is so sad. And it certainly makes us angry. But I think about the clip you played, Steve, where the woman said, you know, they're going to mutilate, they're going to incinerate. You're going to be stuck on a conveyor belt. You're never going to get off. It's going to be more treatment, and you're never going to be satisfied. You know, I saw this quote from a French journalist, and it speaks the truth. If a million people say a foolish thing, it is still a foolish thing. And gender fluidity is a very foolish thing. It's, you know, people, we Christians sometimes throw around the phrase from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
And I hear that sometimes rather glibly, but truly the trans ideology, gender fluidity, it is truly a lie from the very pit of hell itself. It's the definition of what a lie is. And millions, Tim, as you said, millions and millions and millions of our young people are being deceived, and some of them are being led into some very dark places.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, in a related story, right?
Yeah.
CDC.
The CDC.
Can I just mention before we go there, in his image,
yeah,
what we are offering here at American Family Association, in his image, you can go to our website.
It's a documentary.
Yes.
Film that we produced 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes.
That's just been watched by 500,000 people or more. Mm-hmm. That's what Fred's talking about, which addresses this very issue.
Yes.
And so
it has more testimonies from people who mm-hmm. now regret and how to be loosed from this.
Yes. In his image movie.
You can see it at streaming.afn.net.
Yes.
I highly recommend it.
In his image movie, if you've got somebody, family, a friend or you know somebody's kid who's dealing with this, watch this movie. It's going to be very helpful to you. And you just go watch it. It's a movie documentary. It's excellent. It's called In His Image. And I think it's
Jesus said, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And Tim, that's one reason that the ministry put out In His Image, because this is the life-saving truth. This is the answer to the lie from the pit of hell. You were made in the image of God. You are beautiful the way you are. You need to watch In His Image. Listen to the testimonies. It's so well done. It's more relevant today than it was the day that we released.
Okay, so on your computer screen or your phone, all you need to do is type in, like I-N, inhisimage.movie. It's that simple. Inhisimage.movie. Boom, it comes up, and you can watch it. I'm telling you, our team did a great job of that. It is excellent. Inhisimage.movie. All right, Steve.
Well, the other side of this, as you guys were saying, is the acceptance that this is getting in the medical and scientific community. It is outrageous. But we now have guidance from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, that's giving guidance for how trans people, how a man can breastfeed a child. There are hormones that a guy can take, a man can take, that will start him being able to produce milk, and they can actually, apparently, somewhat feed a baby. But what they're not saying is some of the drugs that you need to take in order for this to happen could be very damaging to the baby. The FDA is warning that one of these drugs is called domperidone. Can pass into breast milk a small amount and can sometimes give babies an irregular heartbeat as a result. But well, they don't care.
Yeah, the point of this story is that the CDC has completely lost any credibility with most of the American people, I think.
Well, that happened to COVID, but yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Now, these are the people who say they're for science, yes. Right? And yet they're talking about men having babies mm-hmm. and males developing breast milk. It's just... That's how wokeness has taken over the messaging at the Centers for Disease Control, Fred. Yep. So why should I believe them about anything?
That's right. It's amazing what's happening out there. We've dealt with a story now about the professor in Texas was teaching biology.
Yeah.
That, you know, a female XX, a male XY, and he got fired. He got fired for teaching biology. Right. What's going on is insanity, and I think Ray alluded to this a while ago. You know, it is Satan's blindness that's going on here to the realities, biological realities, and it's almost laughable, but it's not because it's so serious today. You know, the left used to preach, you know, follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. They are 180 degrees to that now, 180 degrees. They're saying follow the feelings. What you feel like, that's not biology, folks. That's a psychological problem.
Well, we should probably get Dr. Kenyon in again. Maybe he could help.
Yes.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the show. Tim, Fred, Steve, and Ray. A next story, Steve.
I've got actually some good news. There's a movie that was released on the 4th of July. It's called The Sound of Freedom. And it did very well on its first day out. The budget for this movie, it was made by Angel Studios, the people that do The Chosen. And the budget to make this movie is $14.5 million. On its first day, on July 4th alone, it made $14.2 million, premiering at number one on the box office sheet. Now, let me just read you this is what it's about. It's based on a true story. I have not seen it, but I've got from everybody I've seen, it's very high reviews. It's starring Jim Caviezel. This the people who produced this and the message in here is explicitly Christian. After rescuing a boy from ruthless child traffickers, a federal agent learns the boy's sister is still captive and decides to embark on a dangerous mission to save her. With time running out, he quits his job and journeys deep into the Colombian jungle, putting his life on the line to free her from a fate worse than death. Mm.
And this problem of trafficking, our own 8 days of hope that we're associated with, you talk to Steve Tiber. This is not just a problem somewhere else in the world.
No.
Steve will tell you, this is a huge problem. Why 8 days of hope now is constructing halfway houses to try to help these mostly girls, I believe it is, but some boys are involved. It is a huge problem right here in the United States of America. A lot of it is transitions out of across our southern border. I'll put it that way. There are kids being trafficked in here. There are evil people that are bringing little kids across the border and selling them. So this movie is extremely appropriate. It tells a real story of what's happening in reality in our country today, and more needs to be done to stop this.
What's the name of the film? And it's, I'd like to see that.
It's playing in Tupelo here. It's in limited theaters. You can go to, I believe, the soundoffreedom.com or Sound of Freedom movie. Look it up, and you'll see where it's playing in your area.
Jim Caviezel is the lead actor.
He was the one that was in Passion of the Christ
right.
back in the day. It's called Sound of Freedom. And I'm going to be talking with one of the producers later today. We'll have a story up.
Seen it, Ray?
No. And I'm just, but just, Steve, since you've been talking about it, this is evidently a true story.
It is based on a true story.
Based on a true story. So what a tremendous thing. They were the number one film on the 4th of July, beating out this latest Indiana Jones mega millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to do that. And Sound of Freedom came in number one.
It played on half the amount of theaters that Indiana Jones did. Indiana Jones in its second day or week of release.
Yeah.
So
next story.
All right.
Do you got anything to end on a positive note, or we're gonna go back to the negative news stack? If so, we're just gonna skip it. Have happy meditation thoughts here.
I don't think I have it. Well, we could get.
Forget all that.
Did you hear Brett?
Fred's got a happy story.
I've got a story.
Oh.
It's a happy story.
If you're heading out to vacation and you're heading to a beach.
Oh, that's not happy.
This is going to be happy, Fred.
No, it's happy. I'm going to give you the warning.
The beach is a happy place.
The beach is a happy place.
Yes.
But stay on the beach.
Don't get in the water.
Do not go in the water.
I saw that. I know what you're talking about.
What is
and we go there. Family goes there.
Yeah, Pensacola.
No, not New York. But
yeah, New York has had a real problem. 50 sharks spotted at one beach. You probably have seen these drone videos lately.
Yeah.
You have people that are like up to their knees in the water. Like I say, Pensacola, that's been reported, Florida, lately.
Mm-hmm.
They're up to their knees, and these drone videos are showing these sharks like about 20 feet away from them.
What?
There was a viral video yesterday, talking about Pensacola, and I think this happened yesterday or the day before. There was a viral video of swimmers on the beach at Navarre Beach in between Pensacola and Fort Walton.
Yeah,
is a place called Navarre, and it's a beautiful beach. I mean, the water's clear and the beach is white and sandy. As you say, it's a happy place. But man, it shows these swimmers, people out just waist high.
Yes.
And this shark is just
I know.
Going through right by them. Going right through the water with his dorsal out. They're like something out of a Jaws movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. It didn't attack. And
no.
sharks don't typically, they're not hunting people for food.
No, generally not.
But they get them confused sometimes.
They get confused as to what they are, or they get spooked into it, or they feel threatened.
Yeah.
Like most wild animals.
So don't approach the shark.
No.
don't pat him on the nose.
I was listening to The Five yesterday, and one of the guys on The Five was saying, you talk about shark-infested waters. They live there. It's people-infested waters that's the problem.
That's a good point, Steve. And to Fred's point, just watch from the sand.
Yeah.
Right. Stay on the beach.
Stay on the pool. Go to the pool.
Now,
sit on the beach.
The good thing about sharks on the Gulf Coast, usually you have clear enough water you can see them.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, that's.
Stay on the beach.
Why am I hearing the theme music from Jaws?
Yeah, I know. It's there in the ear.
All right. And thankfully, that shark at Navarre Beach did not attack anybody.
Yeah.
But it's still scary watching that video.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you to Fred, Steve, Chris, Dr. Knapp, and Britt Creeley, our producer. See you tomorrow.